Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Roberts. I don't know about you, but I feel strength in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. There's strength in the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you've been battling, but there is strength in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist had been going through some difficulties and some problems in his life, but he began to reflect and he said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. A lot of stuff has been coming against me, but Lord, you're my shield. Thou, O Lord, nothing else. I don't have any other help, but you, Lord, are my shield." And he went on and said, "My glory and the lifter up of my head." I believe the Lord's here tonight to start lifting some heads up. You know, life has a way of just kind of pushing us down. Problems have a way of just beating us down, and pretty soon we're looking down. But the Holy Ghost is real tonight. The power of God is in this place, and he's here to lift our heads up. I want to lift my head up. I want to lift my hands up. I want to lift my heart, my voice, and exalt my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's awesome. He's wonderful, incomparable, as we sing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen in service tonight, but it's good. Amen. It's already happening. I don't know all that's already transpired, but God is good. And I'm going to leave strengthened in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. It is our privilege to be here in Cleveland. I give honor to Pastor and First Lady Roberts. It is so good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Roberts, for allowing my wife and I to come and to share our burden with you. We come representing the country of Chile, South America. And it's a long ways away from where we are here tonight. But the Lord's there also. And we're so thankful for the privilege of coming, worshiping God with you. And you know, God's been so good to me. I have so many reasons to worship him. It's easy to get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, we kind of get our focus upon ourselves. But when we begin to focus upon the Lord and the goodness of God, we begin to feel better immediately. Maybe our problems haven't been taken away, but our perspective changes. And God has been so good to me. I've got so many reasons to thank the Lord. Number one, I'm a spiritual Buckeye. Amen. May 18th, 1974, I received the Holy Ghost, got baptized down the road in Sandusky when my dad was pastoring there. Amen. So it's good to be back close to home, close to where I was born spiritually. But the Lord has blessed my wife and I, and we were privileged to be missionaries to the country of Chile for 14 years. And the Lord's blessed us with two daughters who love God, serve the Lord. The oldest is 30 years old and married to Marines stationed out in the desert in California, but they're serving God and having a revival in their church and praying Marines through the Holy Ghost and baptizing Marines right there from the base. Amen. The Lord's doing great things. And our youngest daughter is very active in her church in Michigan there, finishing up her degree. And we are so thankful for that and what God has done. And the Lord, as I mentioned, allowed us to be missionaries to Chile for 14 years. And then he called us back. I jokingly tell people that he called us back to the U.S. as missionaries. But it's really the truth. Every born-again believer has received a mission, a great commission. And so wherever we are, you know, the best place to serve God is right where you are. Amen. Right here, right now, serve the Lord. And the Lord brought us back here to the States. We went to the city of Miami and started a home missions work there in Miami, pastored for around 10 years, had 16 different nationalities of Hispanics. And then just to let you see that God does have a sense of humor. You know, a lot of people think God is just all serious and just sad and sour face. God has a sense of humor like nobody else. Just to let you see a little bit about that, he called us from beautiful, warm, sunshiny Miami to Michigan in January. 3 days after we got there, we got snowed in. But even in the midst of the snow, the Lord's real. And we were blessed and pastored there and were in Michigan for almost 10 years. And now, after being back stateside for over 20 years, the Lord has called us to go back to Chile. And we're excited about it. Hallelujah. Thankful for the privilege of serving Him. And, you know, a lot of missionaries bring artifacts and displays and things. I apologize. I don't have any things set up tonight for you to see, artifacts or anything, but I did bring a real live Chilean tonight, just so you can see in person. I didn't say a real lively Chilean, I said a real live Chilean. My wife, I'd like for her to come and to greet you. Thankful for her. She's been following me around all over the globe for over 34 years now, and I appreciate that.
Te saludo en el nombre del Señor Jesús.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Me siento muy contenta y privilegiada de estar en este lugar.
I feel very happy and privileged to be in this place.
Este es mi tercer servicio hoy día.
This is the third service I've been in today.
Venía bien cansada.
I was tired.
Pero cuando llegué a este lugar,
but when I arrived at this place,
es que como que me hubieran enchufado a una batería.
It's like they plugged me into my battery in.
Porque puedo sentir la presencia de Dios y hay un gozo y una frescura de su Espíritu Santo.
I can feel the presence of the Lord. There is a joy and freshness here.
Aunque yo no les puedo entender todo a ustedes,
although I can't understand all you say,
pero gracias a Dios, no hay que entenderlo, sino hay que sentirlo en nuestras vidas.
Thank God we don't have to understand Him. All we have to do is feel Him in our lives.
También quiero agradecer a Mother's Memorial.
I want to thank the ladies for working for Mother's Memorial.
Porque yo sé que ustedes trabajan todo el año para apoyar a las esposas de los misioneros.
I know that you work all year long to help support missionaries.
Así que cuando yo regrese allá a mi país, me está esperando la lavadora, la secadora, la cocina y el refrigerador.
And when I return to my country, Mother's Memorial will provide me with a washer, dryer, stove, and refrigerator.
Así que realmente estoy contenta y agradecida.
So I am very happy and thankful.
Y como las dueñas de casa saben, esos son los electrodomésticos más caros que uno tiene que comprar.
And as you know, those are some of the most expensive things you have to buy.
Así que realmente yo se los aprecio.
So I really appreciate it.
También quiero agradecer que apoyan al Instituto Bíblico.
I also want to thank you for supporting Bible School.
Porque cuando yo llegué a la Pentecostal Unía, al mes siguiente yo asistí a mi primer instituto bíblico.
Because when I came first to the United Pentecostal Church, the following month I enrolled in Bible school.
Yo me crié en una iglesia cristiana.
I was raised in a Christian church.
Y yo pensaba que yo era cristiana.
And I thought I was Christian.
Yo amaba al Señor.
I loved the Lord.
Pero cuando después que asistí al instituto bíblico,
but after I attended Bible school,
me di cuenta que yo no conocía a Dios.
I realized I didn't know God.
Así que realmente yo les aprecio.
So I appreciate.
Mi madre me dice que ella y mis hermanos nacieron y fueron criados en la iglesia católica.
My mother and my older siblings were born and raised in the Catholic Church.
Ella dice cuando yo tenía como 7 años empezó a asistir a una iglesia cristiana.
And when I was about 7 years old she began to attend an evangelical Christian church.
Así que así yo me crié hasta como los 19 años.
And I was raised there till I was about 19.
Pero cuando yo tenía como 14 años, yo dije, esto no es para mí.
When I was about 14 years old, I decided, this is not for me.
Yo dije, cuando yo tenga mi mayoría de edad, yo me voy a ir de esta iglesia.
And I said, when I'm old enough, I'm going to leave this church.
Yo nunca fui al mundo, yo no fui a fiesta, no estuve en drogas.
And I never was went out into the world, out into partying life and drugs.
Pero sí, no, yo no había nunca tenido un encuentro con el Señor.
But I never had a genuine encounter with the Lord.
Así que siempre sentía como un vacío, como que algo me faltaba en mi vida.
I always had an emptiness in my life, as if something was lacking.
Así que yo recuerdo cuando ya cumplí mamá tenía como 19 años.
I remember when I was about 19.
Ya llegó el domingo en que yo decidí de no ir más a la iglesia.
The Sunday came and I decided not to go to church.
Así que me fui a la casa de mi hermana.
So I went to my sister's house.
Por equivocación me bajé como dos a tal vez a unos cuatro blocks antes de su casa.
And by mistake I got off the bus about 4 blocks too soon.
Y para coincidencia en un lugar como este.
And it was a place about like this.
Así que me tocó otra cosa que caminar a la casa de ella.
And so I had to walk to her house.
Y más o menos como aquí a la segunda fila me encontré con un matrimonio con dos niños.
And in front of me from about here to the second row there was a
couple with two children.
Me llamó la atención dos cosas de ese matrimonio.
Two things about that family caught my attention.
Una de ellas que era un matrimonio que iba con sus dos hijos.
One that it was the couple and their two children.
Porque yo vengo de una familia donde mis abuelos, mis padres, mis primos, mis hermanos son todos divorciados.
I come from a family where my grandparents, my parents, my cousins, my brothers and sisters all are divorced.
A la verdad yo no tenía el concepto de familia.
I didn't have a concept of what a family was.
A la verdad yo no quería casarme para no pasar por el proceso de un divorcio.
I didn't want to get married to go through the divorce process.
Así que, y la otra cosa que me llamó la atención fue su manera de vestir.
But another thing that caught my attention was the way they were dressed.
Yo dije, estos deben de ser pentecostales.
I said, these must be Pentecostals.
A mí me habían enseñado que no tenía que ir a una iglesia pentecostal.
They had taught me not to go to a Pentecostal
Porque
church.
Porque era muy diferente a nosotros y tal vez un poquito locos.
And because they were really different than us and maybe a little crazy.
Pero la verdad las cosas que fue tanta la atención que me atrajo que los empecé a seguir.
But they caught my attention in such a manner that I began to follow them.
Ellos caminaban rápido.
They would walk fast.
Yo caminaba rápido.
I would speed up.
Ellos caminaban lento.
They'd walk slow.
Yo caminaba lento.
I'd slow down.
Así que así fue hasta cuando ellos llegaron a un lugar donde asistían como 1,000 personas.
And it was that way until we came to a place where they went in and there was around 1,000 people there.
Y era una conferencia de la Pentecostal un día.
It was a conference of the United Pentecostal Church.
Y esa fue la primera vez que yo asistí a un servicio pentecostal.
That was the first time I was ever in a Pentecostal service.
Y hasta el día de hoy yo estoy aquí.
And from that day to this, I'm here.
Tal vez ustedes se preguntarán muchas veces si vale la pena apoyar a los misioneros.
At times you might wonder if it's worthwhile to support missions.
Tal vez esos 30, 40, 50 dólares que das a misiones te es indiferente o no te cuesta nada.
You might think that the 30, 40, or 50 dollars that you give to missions is really not that important.
O tal vez al revés, te es un sacrificio dar esa ofrenda a la iglesia.
On the other hand, it might be a sacrifice.
Yo te quiero decir que Dios no es injusto al ver que tú das esa ofrenda.
But I want to tell you, God is not unjust to forget what you give.
Él está viendo cada sacrificio de cada uno de ustedes.
He sees each one of your sacrifices.
Así como ustedes transformaron mi vida en la maldición por la bendición de Dios.
And just as you helped change and take away the curse and change it to the blessing of God in my life.
Así han cambiado la vida de muchas personas.
You've helped change the life of many people.
Ahora nosotros, en mi familia, no solamente yo soy cristiana, sino que ahora vemos cuatro generaciones.
Now my family, I'm not only a Christian, there are four generations of us.
Llegué yo.
I came.
Después llegó mi madre.
My mother.
Después mis hermanas.
My sisters.
Mis hijas y mis sobrinos son nacidos en la Iglesia Pentecostal.
My daughters and my nieces and nephews are born and raised in the United Pentecostal Church.
Y ahora mis sobrinos son pentecostales.
And now my great nieces and nephews are Pentecostals.
Eso es gracias a Dios y al sacrificio de muchos de ustedes.
And I thank God for that and many of you for your sacrifice.
Así que yo les animo que sigan apoyando a misiones.
So I would encourage you to continue supporting missions.
Para seguir salvando almas para el Señor.
To help continue saving souls.
Estamos viviendo en tiempos muy inciertos.
We're living in very uncertain times.
Estamos viviendo en que el mundo no tiene dirección.
The world doesn't have direction.
Y nosotros como cristianos necesitamos estar bien parados.
And as Christians we need to be steady.
Y realmente demostrarle al mundo que hay una esperanza. Y demostrarle al mundo que hay una esperanza.
And show the world that there is hope.
Así aquí ustedes de este lugar.
Right here from this place.
Y nosotros donde el Señor nos está mandando.
And where the Lord is taking us.
La naturaleza nos forma.
Nature forms us.
El pecado nos deforma.
Sin deforms us.
La escuela nos informa.
School informs us.
La religión nos reforma.
Religion reforms us.
Pero solamente nuestro Señor Jesucristo puede transformar nuestras vidas.
But only the Lord Jesus Christ can transform our lives.
Así que yo animo a ustedes.
And so I encourage you.
Que no se callen. Y sigan alabando y predicando este evangelio.
Don't cease to continue preaching the gospel.
Yo les quiero decir que se dice que el primer hijo y el segundo hijo es el hijo del amor.
In a marriage they say the first and second child are products of love.
Tal vez el tercero.
Maybe the third.
Yo soy la número 8.
I'm number 8.
Así que Siempre pensé que yo era una equivocación.
I always thought I was a mistake.
Yo pensé que ¿por qué yo estoy aquí?
I always would ask, why am I here?
Yo pensé que era un accidente.
I thought it was an accident.
Pero después que conocí al Señor Jesucristo,
but after I came to know the Lord,
me di cuenta que yo tenía un Padre celestial.
I realized I have a heavenly Father.
Yo sé que yo no soy una, ahora que soy pentecostal de la cabeza a los pies.
Now that I'm a Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet.
Yo no sé, yo sé que yo no soy un accidente.
I know I'm not an accident.
Yo no sé que yo no soy una más de mis hermanos.
I know I'm just not another one of the kids.
Yo soy el un propósito por el cual Dios me creó.
God created me for a purpose.
Y yo quiero cumplir ese propósito.
And I want to fulfill that purpose.
Así también ustedes son creados con un propósito.
You are also created with a purpose.
Y yo les animo que sigan predicando el evangelio para que muchas almas más puedan conocer al Señor. Que Dios les bendiga.
I encourage you, let's continue preaching the gospel so that other souls can be saved. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Well, I trust that will let you see a little bit what Chileans are like. Amen. I got the best one, though. Amen. You know, you can't buy happiness, but you can marry a Chilean, and that's almost the same thing. Amen. I showed that to my wife. Got a little picture of it and showed it to my wife. I don't know if she believes me or not. Amen. But God has been good to us. We're so thankful, and we are anxious to return back to Chile. Chile is a very unique country. It's the longest, skinniest country on the globe. If you could look south, all the way south in South America, on the southwestern coast of the South American continent, you'll find Chile taking up almost a half of the length of the continent. And to give you a little perspective of how long it is, if you could bring it up to the U.S., turn it sideways and lay it across the United States, put one end out at San Francisco, California, on the Pacific Ocean, the other end would reach out past New York City, out onto Long Island a little ways. That's how long Chile is, about 2,700 miles long, but it only averages less than 150 miles wide. So you can see we don't travel a whole lot east and west, a little bit, but we run out of space. But we've got plenty of room to travel north and south, and we do extensively. When we return now, we will not be pastoring as we did before. We pastored the headquarters church and also simultaneously a church in a city 60 miles south. But now we will be traveling extensively the length of the country, teaching in churches, preaching, teaching seminars, helping establish Bible schools, and working in ministerial support and development. And we are excited to return. If you could go with us from the capital city where we live up to the northernmost church, you get out on the edge of the capital city where we live, drive north on the Pan American Highway, and 24 hours later, after driving up through the Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world, you arrive at the city of Arica. Up there, there's folks just like us, and in various other areas, cities going through the north. Now, to get to our southernmost church, it's a little different, although it's just a few hundred miles further. If you want to go visit our southernmost church, you have to get out on the Pan American, drive south until it ends. Put your car on a ferry. Ferry across the ocean for a while. Get out and drive. And you drive till the road ends again. Have to get on another ferry. And you drive after you get out and go over into Argentina and back to Chile and back and forth and back and forth until you get tired. And then you just keep on going. And finally, 50 hours later, you arrive in the city of Punta Arenas. And if you would go with us there, I'd love to have you come and visit us. If you had the opportunity, go to Punta Arenas. You'd find a church just like this one. Loves the Lord. And folks are there, worship and praise God. And you would have the opportunity not only of being in the Southernmost United Pentecostal Church in Chile, it is the Southernmost United Pentecostal Church in the world. All the way down on the Straits of Magellan, down in the southern part of Chile, there are people that love God, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and great things are happening in Chile. Amen? God is doing great things around the world. I'm excited to be a part of it. Now, they have the whole COVID-19 scenario going on down there, too. All, the whole world does, only they're worse off than we are. In the capital city, now, for over 8 weeks, everyone has been locked down in their homes, are not able to leave their homes except twice a week. They can go online, fill out an online request, get a digital or printed out form from the police to go to the grocery store for a couple of hours. Then they got to go home and stay home.
So they've got it worse off than we do. But in spite of it, revival is going on. Amen. God's doing great things. We receive reports of people getting baptized, repenting of their sins, receiving the Holy Ghost during COVID. Amen. The Lord's not restricted as man is. Amen. And we are thankful for that. And we are anxious to get back to Chile. And we have approximately 70 churches now throughout the country, and we're rejoicing about that. But there are yet so many areas that we have yet to reach. One of them being Easter Island. Has anybody heard of Easter Island? You might be familiar with those great big stone statues, those big long-nosed stone statues, about 800 or so of them all around the island. That belongs to Chile. And I guess you could call it our Hawaii, because it is about 2,300 miles out into the Pacific Ocean off the west coast of Chile, and they're not anything like mainlanders. The majority of the people on the mainland are of European descent, but the people that inhabit Easter Island are Polynesians. So they're like a lot of the other South Pacific islands, and I would ask you to pray for us and pray for Easter Island, because to our knowledge, no one has ever taken this Acts 2:38, one God message, and preached it to the beautiful Rapa Nui people on Easter Island. And it is a burden and a desire we have, but we have a problem. The Chilean government and the local Easter Island government are protective of the heritage and culture. They don't want anybody going trying to change things up and try to do anything that would in any way undermine the culture and the heritage of Easter Island, which is understandable. So it poses a problem. I can't say I'm a missionary for the United Pentecostal Church. I'm come to start a church here. It's even very, very difficult for one of our pastors from Chile mainland to go. But we serve a strategic God. He knows exactly what to do. Nothing ever catches him by surprise, and nothing ever occurs to God. He already knows. And so we're believing God and asking the Lord, help us to be sensitive to his direction, that somehow he's going to open a door on Easter Island for us. Maybe one of the saints in one of the churches somewhere is working on a job, and somebody will get hired in from that's living on the mainland from Easter Island. They can befriend them, teach them a home Bible study. Be there, help them as they repent of their sins. We can baptize them in Jesus' name, rejoice as they receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, root them and ground them in the Word of God, and say, all right, go back out to your people. Don't try to change their custom, culture, or everything. Just preach the gospel to them. Amen. The gospel transforms lives everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And so we ask that you help us pray that the Lord would help us. There's so many other areas yet we need to reach, and are anxious to get back. We've been deputizing. We've been slowed down for about 3 months due to everything that's going on. But thank the Lord, we're back out on deputation. And tonight I would like to give an open invitation to each and every one of you to join the CRT, the Chilean Revival Team. It's an open invitation to everybody. We need prayer above all. Pray for Chile. Pray for us. And also, we travel until we can raise the monthly partners in missions financial amount that we have to have that is required for us to go back. So I'd like to ask you to become involved in prayer and finances supporting the work of God in Chile. We're excited about it. I believe we don't have a whole lot of time left. So we want to do all that we can. Amen, amen. And you know, the work of God, and I use this illustration a lot, the work of God is wonderful. I'm so privileged to be a part of what God's doing. The work of God is awesome. It kind of reminds me of a pencil. Some of you are looking at me like, well, this guy really likes pencils. Pencils aren't wonderful. Pencils aren't awesome. They're just pretty common. But have you ever stopped to think about how a pencil is made? I don't know. I'm not an expert on pencil fabrication. But we had the opportunity, our deputation took us up through the Pacific Northwest last fall. And the timber industry is a mainstay up there. huge trees, trees everywhere. The wood for the pencil could have come from the Pacific Northwest. In that industry there, hundreds, thousands of people work up in the timber industry. Now, the graphite for the lead, that could come from a mine in northern South America, perhaps. That's a total separate industry. Lots of people work there. And the eraser for the pencil, you know, that little pink eraser. That, you know, wouldn't you think that with all the technology that we have available, they would make an eraser that would last longer? Of course, they'd probably just tell me, don't make so many mistakes and it will last. But maybe the rubber for that eraser comes from a rubber plantation, maybe in Malaysia. A big industry there. Hundreds, thousands of people work there. They never see the people in the timber industry. They never see the people in the mining industry. But they all just do their job, produce their product, get it ready, package it up, ship it sometimes across the globe. That's a whole separate industry there. It arrives at the pencil factory, and they do whatever they do to make pencils, paint them yellow, stamp them with a number 2, and we get them at Walmart or the dollar store. We use it and never think about it. But next time you use a pencil, stop and think. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people worked in different areas around the world, never seeing each other, never talking to each other, but everyone doing their job faithfully so that we could have a pencil. The kingdom of God's very much the same. We all have different callings, different talents, different abilities. I can't do what you can do. You're not called to do what someone else is called to do. But each and every one of us, if we do our part, if we do our job, we're going to accomplish something a whole lot better than making temporal pencils. Pencils break, we throw them away. We're in the best business there is. That is propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we will have eternal impact on souls as we share this hope with them. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of the church, aren't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. We're so excited and anxious to get back to Chile and continue working there. And before I go any further, I want to address two questions that are commonly asked. People ask a lot. And I'm an MK missionaries kid. My parents were on the mission field for many, many years. They retired now. And I deputized with them. And even when I deputized with my mom and dad, Pastor, people would ask us, do you eat chili? See, you probably thought about it already, didn't you? Do you eat chili in Chile? I'm sorry to disappoint you. We don't. We don't have Wendy's. We've got all the ingredients. Nobody makes chili in Chile. So if you really feel industrious and have an entrepreneurial spirit about you, maybe with your pastor's blessing, you could come and start a chili restaurant in Chile. Who knows? It might go real good. Another question is it chili in Chile? And then people laugh a lot when they ask that question because, you know, it's South America. They are very surprised when we do answer, yes, it is chili in Chile. It's chilly right now in Chile because June, July, and August is wintertime. How chilly does it get? As chilly as you want it and then some. Being the closest country to the Antarctica, we have icebergs, glaciers, penguins, all that kind of stuff that goes on way, way, way south. We're from the deep south. I trust that will set your mind at ease about those two questions tonight. Amen. But instead of talking all night about chili, let's talk about the word of the Lord a little bit. Talk about God. I want to encourage you, if you would, with me, open your Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 25. I said Numbers 25. Numbers 13, verse 25. Numbers 13:25. And before I endeavor to preach, I do need to give you a disclaimer. Now, don't get nervous on me here. I know every time I hear about a disclaimer, I think, you know, maybe something could go wrong. Well, if the Lord has his way here tonight, nothing's going to go wrong. So I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to do your will. But since I'm an MK, grew up on the mission field, started my ministry there, went back as a missionary, went to Miami, pastored a Spanish-speaking church. Then we went to Michigan, did pastor an English-speaking church, but also a Spanish-speaking church. The majority of my ministry has been in Spanish. And I have been known to supposedly be preaching along in English. And I don't know what happens. Maybe I try to do it too fast or get too excited or something. I have said at times a word or two or three or more in Spanish. And so if I do that tonight, please just bear with me and say, God bless him. He just doesn't know any better. But I'm thankful that the Lord knows all about me. And in spite of it, he still loves me. Aren't you glad the Lord knows you and still loves you? Amen. But if you would allow me to, I would like to start like we would in Chile. Is that okay? Some of you, I think, are scared now of me. Amen. Let's do it like we would in Chile. Whenever you find Numbers chapter 13, verse 25, say amen. All right, that makes me feel at home. That's the way we do it in Chile. It reads, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them fruit, the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto a land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites which dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. For the next few minutes here, with the help of the Lord, I want to briefly talk to you upon the thought, what a mentality. Mentality is another word for mindset, which is a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines a person's response to an interpretation of situations. It can also be described as an inclination and even a habit. We read here where the 12 spies came back that were sent into the promised land. They had gotten close enough to the promised land after coming out of Egypt, after walking and crossing part of the wilderness. They had gotten close enough to where it was decided we are going to send 12 men, one from each tribe in, responsible, good men representing the people of God into the promised land so that they can spy out the land and come back to us and give us a report. We read here, and perhaps you're very familiar with the scriptures and the story of how they came back. 10 of the spies gave their report and said, not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's too hard. We're not able. While two men by the name of Joshua, Moses' servant, and Caleb stood by and said, well, we disagree. We were there and we saw just like they did. I believe that we are able, well able, to go in and possess it. The others argued it is a land, as we were told, that flows with milk and honey. It's a desirable place. Anyone would want to live there, but we are not going to be able to do it because there are giants in the land. Walled cities, we're not strong enough to do it. We don't have the resources. And it is vital that we notice that all 12 spies, the 10 who spoke negatively and the 2 who spoke positively, each and every one of these spies that day sealed their own destiny with the words that they spoke. Every single one of them. 10 said, we can't do it. And they didn't do it. 2 said, we can do it. And they did it by the help of grace of God. You know, I don't know what it is about human nature. And if we're not careful, it will bleed over into our spiritual nature and walk with God also. You know, a lot of times it's just easier to talk about negative things and believe negative things than it is positive things. We see that everywhere. You know, the only thing you can say about that is, what a mentality. I can just see Caleb there that day, standing, hearing the 10 spies say, no, we can't do it. It's futile. Let's not even try it. I think he just stood back, crossed his arms, and shook his head and said, I don't understand. What a mentality. I don't understand that. I saw the same things that they did. What are they thinking of? They're forgetting. Finally, it got to Caleb. He took out all of it he could stand. I can just almost see his blood pressure on the rise. We can't do it. Walled cities, strong people. We're too weak. They even went as far as saying in our own eyes, we're as grasshoppers. Caleb finally took all of it he could stand. The Bible says, we just read it, where he's told everyone, hey, that's enough. Be quiet. He hushed the people. He quieted. He said, all right, you've had your turn talking. It's my turn to talk. I was there also. You gave your report. Now it's my turn. Be quiet for a while. I don't understand your mentality. I don't understand, because it is the promise of God. We're not striking out to do something on our own. God has called us. He has promised us. Are you forgetting how he brought us out of Egypt, all the plagues, how he brought us through the Red Sea, how he's done everything so far? I believe we can do it. Let's go on and do it. We are well able to do it. I can just see the 10 as Caleb was doing that. They probably stood back, their mouth probably dropped open. They crossed their arms. I can't believe what a mentality that Caleb has. Your mentality is important. Your mentality is a reflection of your spiritual perception. Things are difficult. It's going to be hard to get in there. But God is on our side. You know, we live in a world where things are pretty difficult. Things are pretty uncertain. All around the world, nobody has the answer. People are standing back and saying, I don't know. Today it's COVID-19. Tomorrow it's going to be something else. Next week. There's always something going on. There's always something to discourage us. But we have a God who has called us. We have a God who has enabled us. And we are not doing this on our own. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm here to encourage you tonight. It's time to begin to proclaim in Jesus' name that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's true, things are difficult. God hasn't changed, though. Amen. Things have always been difficult. You read the Word of God, you'll find that things have always been difficult. All through history, things have been difficult. Amen. But instead of talking, you know, Caleb decided, instead of talking about all the negative things, he saw the negative things too. He chose not to focus upon the negative things. He said, oh yeah, there are walled cities. Oh yeah, there are giants. But yes, also there's great fruit. It flows with milk and honey. It's the promise of God. We're going to be able to do it. Give me that mountain, he finally said when he went back in years later. Why? Because he had a different mentality. Caleb chose, instead of talking about negative things, instead of talking pessimistically, he chose, I'm going to talk about what is possible through God. Amen. I believe it's time for us as the children of God to take a stand. You know, there's a lot of negative talk going on. I'm not against anybody. I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. But I'm sick and tired of everything that this world has and everything that's going on in this world. I think it's time for us to stand up and instead of talking about what's negative, let's talk about the promises of God. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we face some adversities. But we have a God who does miracles. We have a God who has called us and has enabled us, and he is waiting for us to claim his promises to do miracles on our behalf. Hallelujah. When we go back to Chile, there are going to be some giants we have to face there. We're not taking them all with us. You're going to have some left here in Cleveland too. Amen. Giants that we all face, and then individual giants that we battles that we have to fight on our own at times. But oh, I'm thankful for the power of God. I'm thankful for the joy that comes through the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Philippian church and said, "In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's something about the Spirit of God that calms us. Something about the Spirit of God that brings peace into it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Here's some wise counsel from the Apostle Paul. The Philippians were going through some problems. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me doing, the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's saying you've got to have the right mentality. You've got to think on the right things. It is a conscious effort. It is a habit that we must form to begin to have the right mentality no matter what we face. You know, we control what we think, and we control what we speak. I've heard people say, oh, I've said it, I just couldn't help it. Well, yes, you could. You wanted to say it. But we control what we think and what we speak, and by doing that, we ultimately control what will be true in our lives. What are you talking about, Brother Well? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What you think, what you say, controls ultimately what you will be. I'm even going to go a little farther, and don't get shook up on me if I'm mistaken. The pastor will straighten it out after I'm gone. I'm going to be gone in a few minutes. With our mouths, we also control what God can do in our lives. What are you talking about? Again, in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why Caleb said, I'm not going to participate in your negative talking. I saw the same things you did, but I choose to focus in upon what God has done and what God is going to do and the promises we have and the victories that are. Yes, we're going to have to fight some difficult battles, but when we fight the battles, God is going to fight for us and he's going to give us the victory. And so Caleb said, I'm ready to fight large battles. I'm ready to take on the enemy. I'm ready to do whatever we have to do because I'm also ready to receive the victory that God has for us. The apostle wrote to the Romans and said, for with the heart man believeth, and unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's time to continue talking about the goodness of Jesus. I've rejoiced with the worship tonight and watched many as we were touched by why we were exalting the Lord. We were praising God. I don't want to just do it here tonight. I want to take this spirit with me. I want to have a transformation in my mentality. You know, with all the pressures and things around it, it's easy to be contaminated by negativeness. It's easy to be brought down by doubt of others. But all in the house of God and with the people of God and in this place tonight, there's something special, a special anointing, a special direction is here available for your life. If you will just get a hold of it and possess it in Jesus' name, we'll leave with a great mentality. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? It doesn't make any difference. We're going to face it with a renewed mentality. We're going to face it. We're going to focus on what edifies. We're going to focus on the power of God, the goodness of God, and the miracle. We're living in times where miracles are transpiring. This has nothing to do with me in the least bit, but about a month ago, my wife and I were in, where were we? Tennessee, I think. Preaching just a mission service just like this one. And the auditorium was kind of on a slope. And an elderly sister got up here on this side, about halfway back, maybe a little less. And I don't know what happened. And I had just almost just stepped in the pulpit. The pastor had just turned the service over to me. And all of a sudden, I heard a big thud. Boom. We looked around, couldn't see what was going on. I was kind of on the platform, and I could see down between the rows that there was someone laying on the floor. It took quite a while, and I realized it was an elderly saint there. And so I said, you know, let's just, everybody just stand and pray, because people were looking all around. And they were trying to get her up, and it's taken quite a while to get her up off the floor. And they finally got her up and seated, and we finished praying. And I thought they were going to take her out, because it was obvious. I could see she was in great pain. But they didn't take her out. They sat her down. She sat right there. Evidently, she didn't want to leave it. They were talking amongst themselves. My heart went out to her. I know she was in pain. And I continued on and preached the word of God. And afterwards, the Spirit of God was there. And again, has nothing to do with me. The Spirit of God was there. I was blessed. Everybody was blessed. We came to the altar, rejoiced, worshiped. God gave victory and blessed. And then right after we got done with praying, everybody in the altar, we were still up front. The sister said, Pastor, I need the microphone a minute. I've got to tell you something. Something happened when she got up. She twisted her ankle, fell, banged herself against the wood end of the pew, banged her head. She said she didn't even realize what was going on. I guess kind of stunned herself a little bit, banged herself in the ribs. Her foot was hurting and everything. She sat there in great pain. But she said, as we sat there and as the word of God began to go forward, all of a sudden I realized my foot didn't hurt anymore. My head didn't hurt anymore. My ribs didn't hurt anymore. Instantaneously, as the word of God went forth, he healed that lady. I'm telling you, God still does miracles for those who are willing to have the right mentality. Yes, there's problems, but oh, we serve an awesome God. I want to encourage you tonight, if we all could stand. Let's purpose in our hearts, we're going to leave this place with a mentality that when the devil brings every, you know, I just kind of can picture that Satan at times, he comes against the saints of God and brings this against them and brings that against them, and problems here and problems there and adversity and all kinds of things that would normally stress people out and just totally wipe them out. I think the devil has to stand back sometimes and say, I don't understand those apostolics. I've affected their health. I've tried to affect their finance. I've tried to discourage them and bring them down. I've tried to do everything, used every tool, every arm in my arsenal against them. And there they are in the house of God again. in the midst of COVID, those crazy apostolics are there worshiping God. I don't understand it. I think the devil just has to stand back sometimes and say, I don't understand it. What a mentality. But oh, what a God we have. Oh, what a Savior we have. Oh, how wonderful it is to trust in Jesus Christ and to know that there is victory, there is anointing, there is power. If we will just worship God and say, I refuse to have a negative mentality. I refuse to let the devil do as he wants in my life because I'm a child of God. Let's begin to worship him, glorify him. Tonight, there's victory and anointing in Jesus' name for each and every one of us. Let's just raise our hands one more time to him. Let's praise and thank him for his blessings. You're an awesome God. You're our Savior.
Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Come on. You want to receive something from God tonight? You can purpose. God, I'm going to receive from you. Hallelujah.